This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Chat with Lions head coach Dan Campbell coming up at 9:35 this morning. Quick turnaround, Thanksgiving Day right around the corner. We spoke about the Lions and those footsteps from Philadelphia, concerns earlier in the show. What about the other concern, John?
What's that?
The fix is in.
Here we go.
I don't believe that games are fixed. I don't believe there are script writers who have already written out the end of this season. But I did see this from The Athletic. Quote, "We hate the Lions." This is from someone at the sports books.
Oh, sources say.
No, they're named in this. It's a BetMGM trader, Christian Cipollini. He says, "We hate the Lions. I haven't seen something like this in my time at BetMGM. Every week there are worse team. 95% of the bets last week," this was against Jacksonville, "were on Detroit. If I could remove the Lions from the Super Bowl futures, I would. They are our biggest liability and really our only liability at this point." DraftKings has said 31% of their bets to win the Super Bowl come for the Detroit Lions.
Why, because they cover all the time?
No, this is to win the Super Bowl, 31% to win the Super Bowl. Just to win it. Doesn't have to cover the spread.
Okay.
And John, you're right. The public does cover when they bet the Lions. 41-16 the last 57 games. Make that 42-16 after last week. More than 72% of the time. That's an ATM. But John, if the books need the Lions to lose and not win the Super Bowl, are the conspiracy theorists getting nervous that they think the fix is in and the real opponent isn't the Eagles, it's not the Chiefs, it's not the Bills,
it's big,
the sports books.
It's big money.
It's casinos. It's script writers.
They can't possibly lose all that money on the Lions?
No, they can't. Too much liability. The only Super Bowl liability is your Detroit Football Lions.
Oh, it's just like, it's like away games. Lions fans are showing up. Lions fans are actually putting their money where their mouth is and betting on the Lions to win it all. And I think that's exactly what that is. It is the surge of Lions fans that have been looking at this, some for 4 or 5 years, some for a couple of decades, others for an entire lifetime. And this is their moment that they have, and now you're going to sit there and float this out that it's not in the NFL script. Have you looked at the colors of the Super Bowl logo? Are the Lions colors in the Super Bowl logo? I mean, is that where we're going with this?
I was going to say, are we doing this again? I don't believe this, but I saw this and I thought there are some people out there who can't quite shake the feeling that something's going to go wrong.
Oh, there's going to be a call at the end of the NFC Championship game that'll cost them a trip to the Super Bowl.
Can't have the Lions win. Throw the flag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pass interference. Oh, wait, no, it's not pass interference.
The idea that they're going to get hosed by the officials late in this magical season, it may be in the back of some of your minds, and this is only going to feed into that narrative from people. I didn't publish this. This is from The Athletic, where they are telling you the sports books hate the Lions. They're our only liability, our biggest liability. Almost a third of all bets to win the Super Bowl are on the Detroit Lions.
So you've planted the seed now.
Yeah. They planted the seed.
So if one they of those don't, whack jobs.
If they don't win it and anything looks suspicious whatsoever, you've now given the Lions fans excuses and something to go after. There's no script, okay? There never has been and never will be. I mean, the NFC Championship game in New Orleans 6 years ago or whatever it was, the NFL should have wanted the Drew Brees to go against Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Okay, there was no fix there. Mm-hmm. It was a ref making a horrific call like they do sometimes. It just happened to be that spot. But now you've put this in people's minds that the Lions can't win because the sports books will lose too much money.
The sports books are putting it in our mind, and the Athletic's putting it in their mind, and I'm just the messenger.
You're the vessel.
I'm just
you
the messenger.
You have to share everything you read.
I don't have to. You're right. That's a good right,
yeah.
lesson.
And you don't have to Google Lions conspiracy theories 2024.
You're not supposed to see my history, John.
You know, I think what's at this is what's happening, okay? They're a fresh new story, and I think a lot of the Lions fan base probably hit this hard in the offseason.
Yes.
And so, all right, they've already got that liability out there. And I think what the Lions have done this year is if we have talked about them potentially being an NFL legacy team. And Vegas didn't get a handle on them quick enough that they were. And they've been covering machines. And I'm telling you guys, this is what the 49ers did back in the 80s when they first got good. People just pounced on them because the spread wasn't indicative, and I'll tell you what, they still were. Vegas was still catching up with the Titan game a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, they're still
catching
up.
That thing should have been 17. But they're not. They don't think the Lions are a legacy team yet, and now maybe they do because this point spread against the Bears is almost the same as the Titans. They're playing catch up.
Do you realize how much of a juggernaut the Lions are? If they had made that spread 17.5 against the Titans, the Lions still would have covered. If they would have made the spread 17 against the Jaguars, the Lions still would have covered. You know what I mean? Last week, they were 7.5-point favorites against the Colts. On the road, more than a touchdown favorite. They could have made it 2 touchdowns. They could have made that one 17.5, and the Lions still would have covered. So no, John, I don't think the Lions are going to get hosed because they're simply too good to get hosed. When the Lions were losers, they could let one penalty swing an entire football game. This Detroit team doesn't get rattled. We've done this bit over and over again. I am not concerned that they're going to get screwed because Vegas needs them to lose. Vegas has needed them to lose for 2.5 seasons. You know what Dan Campbell and the Lions have said? Shove it. And they keep winning anyway and covering the spread. I bring this up because I am curious if other people are looking at this getting nervous.
You've opened the door.
You're going to blame me.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I see how
blame
this is
you.
Gonna go. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it, as long as you can take the tinfoil off for just long enough to be able to take a couple of calls here.
Let's do that. Paul in a car, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
I saw that article this morning, or yesterday, I think, and I was thinking about it, and it's a great year to be a Lions fan because my two fears for this season are the superstition of losing on Thanksgiving and now this article about Vegas being against us. And I'm with you. I don't think the refs are rigging the game that the NFL's doing that, but like it's a pretty great year that those are the only two things. Like, what if these are the only things that
right.
they can stop the Lions, you know? The money is power. Well, power wants to win, you know, so they don't want the Lions, you know. If that's all I'm worried about as a Lions fan, it's a good year to be a Lions fan.
Like, think about the satisfaction of that. That there's not a team that we can prop up as the big villain. So now it has to be like power brokers and sports books.
Oh,
and
yeah.
they beat everybody. They beat the teams. They beat the books. They beat everybody. How satisfying is that when there is no doubt? The Lions leave no doubt. If they make this run all the way and win the Super Bowl, they leave no doubt. They do it in a division as tough as it's ever been. They do it in an NFL that features Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. They do it in a time where they leave no doubt. No matter how much leverage and liability the sports books have, they win anyway. Like, that's satisfying.
You mean it's Detroit versus everybody?
No kidding, huh? Let's get to Sonny in Wyandotte. It just works out that way. Sonny, what's up?
Hey, guys. I appreciate you taking my call. Hey, I called up about Jack Campbell. I consider myself a football guy more than a fan. Man, I'll tell you, Jack Campbell, if he stays healthy, he's going to have a legacy with the Lions. I seen my first game on Thanksgiving in 2 days, 57 years ago against the Rams at Tiger Stadium. And one thing the Detroit Lions have had over the years, a great legacy of linebackers from Mike Lucci to Chris Spillman, who should be in the Hall of Fame. If Jack Campbell stays healthy, mark my words, he's going to have a great legacy here. This guy, and I think I know something about linebackers, John, I remember Ronald Simpkins a couple years after me at Western High School in Detroit when we sent him to U of M. So I think Jack Campbell reminds me so much of Brian Urlacher, who used to play for the Bears, the way he moves side to side, his lateral movement. Now, you tell me if you disagree with me on that.
I don't necessarily. I mean, I need to see more development. The one thing about Urlacher is he was – he was a downhill linebacker. And so a little bit of a different style. He could obviously cover, you know, running backs. He was good in pass coverage. He's a former defensive back.
Yeah, former safety.
But he was more downhill than I see Jack Campbell being. Oh, he's not there anymore.
No, he's not there anymore.
Yeah.
Guys, I swear the only name he mentioned to me was Brian Urlacher.
You didn't think he didn't go all the way back to...
You don't remember the old Ron Simpkins?
It was just Urlacher, and that was good enough for me.
Yeah. I mean, if he has a career like Urlacher, and he could have an impactful career like Brian Urlacher. We're only halfway through his second season. I love the way that he's playing. I like the way that he played last year. I saw a lot of good things. And when he was, you know, given the opportunity to step in, wear the green dot, be the man on defense. We talked about it a little bit ago. Like, there was no... It never felt like the defense was out of sync. He did a great job communicating. He did a tremendous job of performing the duties of a middle linebacker.
Here's a cop that I will say. What Fred Warner has been to that position over
much
the
better.
Last half a dozen years,
yes.
I think Jack Campbell can be that for the next half a dozen to 8 years.
Yeah, he's more of the Fred Warner style of player and linebacker and skill set versus Urlacher.
248-539-9797. We brought up this latest from The Athletic that the sports books hate the Lions. They're the biggest liability. Is this something that makes you nervous, or is it as easy as this? Nothing makes you nervous anymore. It's just another adversary for this team to vanquish. Eagles, Vikings, sports books, Mahomes, bring it on. It's 97-1.
Well, it's wintry driving season again, where reckless drivers are everywhere and they just cannot seem to keep their cars under control. If you get injured in an auto accident during this or any other time of the year, you need an injury attorney who will be responsive to your needs and aggressive against the insurance companies. Your injury attorney that you need to hire is David Femeninio. You can pick up the phone right now and speak with David personally by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
Three-goal third period, Red Wings beat the Islanders. Won two of the last three, got three straight coming up at home. Last night, Jaden Ivey hit the buzzer beater for the Pistons. They won last night as well, a game without Cade Cunningham, a game they absolutely lose with Monty Williams coaching them. Pistons have their eighth win already this season. Only one less than the Red Wings. Anyway, you had Michigan Hoops win, State Hoops win. We got Thanksgiving coming up around the horizon, Lions and Bears. And we brought up a series of... you know, adversaries for the Lions. The Eagles, right? They're only a game back. The Vikings only a game back and in the division. Everybody knows AFC. You've got Josh Allen looming. You got potentially a Mahomes three-peat that you got to compete with. And then I brought it up, and I don't like conspiracies, but it's out there that the sports books hate the Lions. Their most liability, really the only liability they have, is all these Lions fans who bet so much money on them, and they really need the Lions not to win the Super Bowl. They've needed the Lions to lose all these games, and the Lions are winning and covering every game, so I tend not to panic about that. But John's mad that I even brought it up because you think I'm feeding the conspiracy theorists.
Oh, you're just inviting all of the lunacy.
I know. I'm trying to get out in front of it.
Now, yeah, but you opened the door now in week 13, and now it's there for anybody to take a bite of the apple for the rest of the season.
Texters also point out another adversary for the Lions. He says, if the Lions win the Super Bowl, Gardner White might go out of business with all the free furniture they're going to give away. Would you put it past him to pull a Tanya Harding and and avoid the catastrophe? I'm sure they have an insurance policy. They'll be just fine.
Yeah.
Let's get to Travis in Oxford. Travis, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Yeah, good morning. I'm just calling about the last caller that was talking about the linebacker, Campbell, on the Lions. You know, that guy, when we played the Seahawks, I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but DJ Metcalf was had the ball, was coming in for a touchdown, and somebody grabbed him by the shirt and held him back, and Matt Campbell came flying across the field. He nailed that guy so hard, he almost took him right out of the game. And DJ is a huge, huge football player, and he's always my biggest fear whenever we play the Seahawks. And when that play happened, I knew we were going to win that game. and we beat those guys fair and square this time after losing to them, I think, four times. Last four times we played them,
yes.
I think we lost to them.
Yes.
So, you know, that Campbell, I don't know about his stats compared to the rest of the linebackers that he brought up, but he is a really good player. And every time I, you know, watch them on TV, I see him making plays left and right. He's going to be a good player for a long time. I just, my only wish was that Pete Carroll would have been there to see Seahawks lose that game. You know, can't stand the way that guy stands on the sidelines, chewing his gum.
Aggressively, you know, chewing his
smiling.
Gum. Yep.
Yeah, aggressively chewing his gum while he watched the old Lions lose. But that didn't happen this last time. And one other thing I want to mention, kind of off topic, but I want to know if anybody else thinks that the head coach of Ohio State looks a little bit like Michael Myers. Just want to put that out there.
Michael Myers.
You're saying Ryan Day looks like Michael Myers.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And he does.
Thank you, Travis. John, you're doing a side. He does not look like Michael Myers, but I appreciate the humor.
Yeah, no.
Mike and Troy, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Pretty happy Thanksgiving. Just to let you know, John, homemade lasagna and ham for Thanksgiving. No turkey.
Oh, please tell me at least, at least in the in the lasagna, is it heavy meat based? Got some sausage and meat in there.
Homemade Italian style. Everything is homemade. She's a pure Italian. And then for Christmas, we'll always be prime rib. Hey, get to my point, John. 14-3. I think you're wrong. The Lions need to go 16-1. Because Minnesota's not going anywhere. You're not worrying about Philadelphia. But technically, they got to win 18 straight games to win the Super Bowl. That has never been done in history. So if you want to talk about conspiracy, losing to Tampa, will the Lions win 18 straight games to win the Super Bowl?
Well, so, I mean, to get the number one seed, they don't have – I mean, they could lose a game and still beat Minnesota in the final game of the season to assure that number one seed. It's also the Eagles. Are they going to lose this weekend to Baltimore?
I'm not worried about the Eagles. I'm worried about Minnesota.
Minnesota's in our division.
And think about this one to be conspiracy. They have to win 18 straight games to get to the Super Bowl win. That is never done in NFL history. Remember, Kansas City won 15 straight games from last year to this year. That's the conspiracy, guys.
Well,
happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah. Appreciate the energy and all this.
Yeah, they could lose to the Bills, not have to win 18 straight games.
Still win the division. Still get the one seed.
And still win the Super Bowl.
And by the way, a team has won 18 in a row before. The Patriots won 19 in a row before losing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he's talking about winning
the Super Bowl. Yeah. Well,
you know, very quickly, you brought this topic up.
Yeah.
I was very concerned about it. And at least three of the calls we've had have been somewhat suspicious in some way.
In what way?
We have people comparing Michael Myers and Ryan Day. We have people saying that the Lions have to win 18 straight. We had somebody, I don't even remember, they mentioned some line I don't think I ever heard of.
Right.
Like 1932 or
way
something.
Way back in the day, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you brought out.
I apologize to everybody for that. Does he mean the slasher or the actor Michael Myers from the Ticket Text? I don't think either one looks like Ryan Day. I mean, maybe if the actor grew a beard, I could see it a little bit.
I thought he meant the actor.
Even then, Ryan Day is synonymous with this very...
He looks like
jet black beard that Michael Myers, the actor, does not have.
Right. I mean, he looks like a property brother, but he doesn't look like Michael Myers.
So there you have it.
Heather with the news.
Thank you.
Exactly. Fire crews are battling the aftermath of an explosion at the GM Proving Grounds in Milford. One of the oil wells, which is owned by a third party on the property, exploded just before 7 a.m. No injuries were reported. Nothing was damaged in this big explosion. Fire crews arrived at the scene, had everything under control. It's still unclear what caused the oil well to catch fire in the first place. All right. John, I know you're excited for turkey on Thursday,
oh, yeah.
Right? Last caller obviously isn't. He's excited for lasagna. And while the turkey is usually or has been like the main
centerpiece.
food group, the centerpiece of the holiday meal. There is a new survey that shows nearly 35% of Americans consider turkey to be their least favorite food on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but that means 65% are all in the turkey. 35% seems like a lot,
but
though.
But it's the most disliked Thanksgiving Day food out of anything. Like that, it doesn't sound
people,
like a lot, but looking at the list,
you are doing it wrong.
It's above stuffing and ham and sweet potato, and cranberry sauce comes in at number 5. Tom, you're not alone. Pumpkin pie, hated by 21.5% of Americans.
All weird people.
Now, they do say the younger you are, the more likely you are to hate turkey. Those over 60 still love it, still want it. But the younger generations are saying, hey, let's switch things up a bit. We don't really like turkey. Let's bring in the lasagna or whoever.
Yeah. He said ham as well.
Yeah, they all want to say F the traditions.
Yeah, yeah. More and more shoppers than ever plan to use the buy now, pay later options this holiday season. And while it can be appealing, it can also end up costing you more than you think. So just, you got to make sure you're budgeting properly, because I mean, right off the top, it does fuel overspending, right? Like you're not spending the money right away. So I'll put this on layaway, but I can still pick up these other purchases. And overall, you end up spending more money, but also you can rack up some fees. You can rack up interest. You can rack up things like that. So just be careful. They say definitely you shouldn't use a credit card, because you can also hit interest fees on your credit card as well as the fees from the layaway program. So just shop safe this holiday season. If you're single, there are some new dating trends you might want to be aware of. And these are all fueled by Gen Zers, and also more that the women are fueling these trends, because they now have more certainty about how and who they want to date. And because of that, micromance is now a thing.
Micromance.
Yes. Micro and romance combined consists of simple gestures to show that you care. So there are these smaller gestures, and they can just be little things. You don't need to spend a lot of money on it, but you can send some funny memes throughout the day. You can share a playlist. You can have some inside jokes with this person you are
courting.
Well, the Gen Z women probably wouldn't call it courting, but sure, yes, that would do it. Future-proofing, it's the women know what they want. They don't want to waste their time with somebody who doesn't have the future goals and plans that they want in their life. So if you are uncertain about finances, job security, your house, huge red flags, girls don't want to date you.
I get that.
Get your ducks in a row. Figure some stuff out. DWM, date with me. Oh. It's basically now, you know, like it's all social media related. People post videos all the time, like the get ready with me videos. Oh, they just talk about whatever they want to talk about. Well, these are like posting content about
going
on a
life?
Date. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just sharing stuff on social media.
So like you share stuff on social media like you're getting ready for a date, or you're about ready to go on a date, and people want to
like
date.
Yeah, and like your openness to going on a date. You're just basically talking about dating on social media. And then male casting is you're looking for a specific type of person.
Mm. Well, yeah, I mean, I think everybody is.
I think so, too. But these are just new terms and new things to be aware of, John. You don't have to worry about it.
A nicer way of saying profiling for women.
Exactly, yes. Okay, this is kind of fun. Oh, I can't do this one. I'll save it for tomorrow.
All right, then. Something to look forward to. It's Heather with the news. Dan Campbell's next, 97.1. Well, the best update he could give us is questionable for a lot of those key players. Quick turnaround for the Lions. John, what'd you take from Dan Campbell?
Well, I thought it was interesting that, okay, when the walkthrough, they still put Penei Sewell on the right side. But the comfort that he just throws it out there with, well, if we decide that we want to put him over, we'll just throw him over there. Like, that is how good of an athlete and how good of a player Penei Sewell is. Now, I know he has it in his background because it's what he played in college. Mm-hmm. But at the NFL level, to just say, yeah, switch sides, go over there. And you know you're going to get the best left tackle in sports.
What do you mean? You could do this, right, John? You just flip-flop left, right side, no big deal?
I did, but not like that.
So when you see what Penei Sewell does, like, take me inside how in awe even you are of that.
Well,
because for the average person, they might go, what's the big deal? He's done both.
Well, because it's, I mean, it's like, you know, writing a term paper right-handed, and then somebody says halfway through it, oh, you know what? Hey, you need to write the rest of this left-handed. And it looks just as good, if not better, left-handed. It is completely different parts of the brain. Everything is opposite. Everything is different. Now, the part of it is just the play calls. You get so used to going up there at 24, right? And this is what I do on 24. And then all of a sudden, you flip it to the other side, and you hear 24. You think, well, I'm lead blocking. And so you take the wrong steps, and all of a sudden, you get beat inside. Like, that's part of it. For him to have that mental discipline of not making those, you know, MAs, is one thing, but then to just be able to come out of that left-handed stance and perform like you've done it your entire life, like you never went over to the right side, is ridiculous.
Was there a clue in there that they are planning for Decker to play at this point, in that they kept Sewell on the right side, like at least a lean one way versus the other?
That, or they've got a plan to put a host of tight ends next to whoever they're putting at left tackle,
Dan Skipper. Yeah. Again, I don't think anything's definitive, but was that a lean one way? Hey, we're kind of holding that left spot for Taylor to get out there on Thursday, unless there's a setback or, you know, last minute they make the call to rest him. Because yeah, that is part of the game. You've talked about it with us here, that, you know, Frank Ragnow strategically missing a game before a bye. Za'Darius Smith missing a game so he does get a bye. Laporta skipping a week when he's on the fence. I mean, this problem is, it's not one guy, John. It could be three or four or more guys on the fence that all sit on Thursday. I mean, that's significant.
Oh, it would definitely be significant, and something that they would have to overcome. But have they not overcome a lot of other obstacles before?
You make a good point.
And I think that's what gives Lions fans so much confidence, is that, and Dan even said it, like, it's not the last obstacle we're going to have to overcome. Nope. Their mindset is, no matter what you throw at us, we're going to find an answer. And it may not be the perfect answer, but it's going to be the perfect one for us.
They're 10.5-point favorites. You could miss a couple guys. The Lions are still a damn good football team that expects to win this football game on Thanksgiving. John, who's returning punts?
I'd like to see J-Mo. Out of curiosity, I'd like to see J-Mo return punts. I mean, other than that, probably Sione Vaki, I think, is the next best guess.
Or someone who's not on the roster, but I kind of feel like you're running out of time for that, right? Like, it had to be today.
Yeah, you'd have to add him today, activate him tomorrow.
Get him out for some, I mean.
Yeah, I mean.
Is punt return plug and play?
No, that is not a plug
and
play.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So
it could be plug and play for somebody who is not on the roster, right?
Who is a punt returner from another team or a practice squad, obviously.
It's a skill set that needs to be developed. So in that essence, it's not plug and play. You need someone that is comfortable and has caught a number of punts. But in regards to, hey, follow the blue jerseys. Okay, that's yes, plug and play there.
Yeah.
And just go make something happen.
Vaki and J-Mo did not return punts in college, I don't believe.
No, I think they were both kick returners.
Correct.
And I don't know, I mean, what's in the repertoire for Craig Reynolds?
Yeah.
Allen Robinson.
You start looking at skill positions who are a little further down the depth chart. So I get why you look at
guys that catch the ball.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Tim Patrick out there. He's just not fast enough and he had too many injury concerns. Definitely don't want to see Amon-Ra St. Brown to continue to do that unless forced to. Here's one thing, and I don't know if he's got this in his background or not. We talk about J-Mo. What about Jahmyr Gibbs?
Make you miss, open field? Sure.
Super fast.
Now the question will be, is Montgomery playing? If he's not, then
he's out of that equation. So, I mean, those are some of what's on the roster. And then you start looking at, because you see this in college football sometimes, not all the time, sometimes you see defensive backs that are, you know, that maybe have that in their background. And I'm not going to go into the background of all these guys to know if they've returned punts at any point in their football lives.
But it won't be St. Brown unless they get into a critical spot. Right. They just trust him, hey, get back there, make the right decision on a punt return. All right. Jack Campbell getting a lot of love. Not to be surprised by that. He played very well. Gator, we know your show loves Jack Campbell.
Yeah, I mean, I like Jack Campbell, but Doug's got an unhealthy
relationship.
Relationship.
Do you have like posters on the walls at home?
I don't know what's around there.
A shrine of some sort.
Doug's.
He just likes those Iowa players. I mean, I know he's a big Laporta fan.
Yeah, and he was a big Hockenson guy before that.
That's right. He was the one that wanted him drafted in the first round.
But this is different. The love for Jack Campbell is different. And I think you're to blame for it, John.
Oh, in a way. Please tell me how. Yeah.
This is good. I like this.
I think because you and Doug have a good relationship on the air and off the air. And I think that you've also touted Jack Campbell from the time that you saw him play at Iowa as well. And it was like, that's just affirmation for Doug. So, and to get the affirmation from you means a lot to him. If I had said it, it means nothing. But you, it does mean something.
Well, and, it is showing out that it is. I mean, coming to fruition.
Oh, he's a good player. There's no question he's a good player. I think everybody was just, you know, do you take this guy in the first round? You take him whenever you want to take him. I mean, at this point, don't we trust Brad Holmes to do what he's going to do? I thought he was going to be a really good player for this team. And he is a good player for this team. He's only getting better. I'm excited about his trajectory. This is year two, and he's already, you know, green dot.
He's got the label. He's got the green dot.
Graduated leadership role.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very nice.
You guys got Jared Goff today?
We did not. A short week. So I know you guys had the coach on, but I apparently, while we're doing our show, is probably not
conducive.
Yeah, he might be watching film or
preparing for this little thing called a football game.
Or maybe it's nap time. I don't know.
Could be nap time.
He's obviously got stuff he's doing. So we understand that. We appreciate that. But that means that we'll have college football questions coming up today at 10:30.
Good weekend for college games. Pivotal weekend for college games.
I have to take another look at that schedule. But I mean, obviously, you've got Michigan State Rutgers.
Of course. I mean, what could be bigger than that?
Well, it's pivotal for Michigan State because they need to win it to get
bowl game. And
is that one in Piscataway?
I think it's East Lansing.
Is it here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So home game got some advantage.
Senior day.
Yeah. There's that. And then of course there's that Michigan Ohio State game.
Oh, that thing.
Yes. In Columbus.
Texas A&M back.
Yeah, first I heard Dan Campbell get a little fired up about that.
As he should.
Yeah, he should.
Back on the docket. So college football questions today. What else should people look forward to?
We've got a suggestion for the Detroit Lions. We've got some insiders talking about their future. We've got some everyman stuff to get to. We're ready to go.
Is that suggestion Daniel Jones?
You'll have to tune in and see, won't you?
Anyway, Carson Anderson.
Way to ruin it.
Sorry, guys. Don't listen. No, they got a whole show planned. Carson Anderson next, 97.1.